Welcome to episode 256 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about how we have raised a generation of spoiled kids, but that we've done a little more than just spoil them. Stay tuned for more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom or dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something that we can do to take our parenting to that next level. The date today is October the 16th, 2013. We've hit the middle of the week. It is Wednesday. Hope your middle of the week is going good. Hope that the end of your week is even going to be better. Our topic for today is going to be, we're not just raising a spoiled generation, we're raising an entitled one. That's right. Today we're going to talk a smidge about how not only have we been raising a generation of kiddos that are spoiled, but that also we're doing just a little bit more. We've been entitling our kids. We're going to talk a little bit about what are the definitions between those two things. How do they differ from each other? How are they similar in working together? And what exactly we can do to prevent that in our kids. Yes, it is possible. We're going to talk more about that. Before we do that, let's jump into our housekeeping for today. If you guys want to get notified of any of the new episodes that we have coming up, go to thefamilypodcast.com. Over on the right-hand side, you can enter in your name and your email address. When you do that, you get put on a very special reserved list of folks who get emails from me saying, hey, we put a new show out. You want to go check it out. Here's what we talked about. It allows you to stay in the know before everybody else knows what it is that we talked about today. Do you need to go listen to that show right this very second? Because it could have been that one thing. If you just hadn't missed out on it, it could have changed everything about your week. Jump over to thefamilypodcast.com. Sign up. Guys, also don't forget, we have a Facebook page. Come join us. We have a lot of fun over there on Facebook. If you want to talk about, you know, some of you guys out there may not be completely auditory listeners, and so the podcast may be good for you, but maybe you're like, man, Trey, I learned by visual. One of the best things you can do is go to Facebook and check us out over there, because I put up a lot of memes and a lot of belief systems about what we believe here at The Family Podcast, and you want to go check it over the Facebook. You can also share this episode to Facebook. When you get done, don't forget to click on it. Share it out over there. Let people know what we've got going on. I want to say a special thank you to all the folks who take the time to share this episode out. I sure do appreciate you guys. You don't have any clue how much that means to me and how incredibly helpful it is. I can't tell you how many times I get emails saying, yeah, well, so-and-so referred me and told me I should come check them out, and I love your stuff. So thank you to all of you guys who do that. I mean that in a very sincere and heartfelt way. Guys, also don't forget, we do have a blog. If you want to go check it out, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog. If you're a reader, come check it out. My wife writes those, and she's amazing. Guys, also don't forget, if you like this so much, you're like, man, Trey, I have so much love for the Family Podcast Network. What can we do now? Simple things that you can do. Why don't you just become a P-Tacker? Support the show. 30 cents per episode. If you feel like you get 3 dimes out of this show every single week, consider becoming a P-Tacker. But Trey, I don't know if I have enough money for that. It's kind of a tough time right now. No big deal. $5 a month is enough that it is to support this show to help keep us moving and flowing. Consider doing that. Or you can go a year-long membership for cheaper if you do that. We have premium membership stuff that is available only to our members in the members area, so consider doing that as well, guys. Also, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, or concerns, a topic that you'd like to hear something on, a lot of ways that you can do that. Go ahead and just give me a call, 661-PARENT-0. That's right, if you got your cell phone in front of you and you're out driving around listening to this, give us a call, 661-PARENT-0. Trey wanted to ask you a question about blah, fill in the blank. We love to answer your questions. I want to get you up on the show. It'll go into a recording on Google Voice, and then we'll throw that up and see if we can answer your call. But let's say you're like, Trey, well, I'm sitting at my computer. Hey, no problem. You got a microphone attached to your computer? All you got to do is go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com over on the right-hand side where it says Ask Trey a Question. Click on that, and as long as you've got that microphone hooked up, you can leave a question just like a voicemail if you had a phone. Guys, you can always email me at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, or you can leave us an instant message on Facebook or any other processes like that. So, with all of that out of the way today, let's jump into our topic. Getting a sip of my tea there. Topic for today is, we're not just raising a spoiled generation, We're raising an entitled one. And we're going to talk about how these two are feeding into each other to produce some pretty major issues and a lot of what's going on. So typically, these concepts of spoiled and entitled are a little bit misunderstood. If you guys are, some of you guys out there are actually a very big chunk. I got to share something with you guys. You know, one of the things I do is I watch to see who all's listening and what's the gender, ages, and whatnot. One of the neat things is when this show initially started out, we had about a 75-25% ratio of women to men, which is never unexpected. I expected that from the very start. Most women step up and take the parenting issue much more serious than men do. That comes from a lot of the pre-colonialism that we have in our parenting, which states that, you know, women are to stay home with the kids and men are to go to work and make dough, right? And well, luckily, we're coming out of that. And it was neat to see. I just went and looked it up today to see where we are. And we are now, men's listening rate is now up to 46%. That means that we are almost at half of the listeners out there are men. And seeing as how we are growing, that is a very incredible thing that there are men that are stepping up saying, we're ready to get serious about this daddy thing. And I think it's more than just, you know, making the bacon and putting clothes and a shelter over your head. We see it as more. And I find that a very cool, cool thing. But anyway, sorry, I had to throw that in there. That's so neat to hear. But a while back, we were on the show. And a lot of you guys are survival podcast folks like myself. Some of you guys are member support brigade folks like myself as well. And recently I was actually on the survival podcast where we talked a little bit about teacup generation. So what we're talking about is when we say teacup generation, is there's just a group of kids that are growing up that are fragile. They're just fragile. When any kind of crisis comes along, any kind of failure comes along, when anything happens that they just don't know how to deal and there's no mom or dad there to bail them out, they just seem to be so fragile that they shatter like a teacup. And it's become a very prevalent thing. They don't know how to solve problems. They don't know how to strategize. They don't know how to overcome their obstacles. And so they just are so fragile that whenever things come along, when the bad things finally hit and there's no mommy and daddy there sitting there waiting to bail them out, they just crash and burn. And it got me thinking, just a few days ago, I overheard a discussion by a couple that didn't realize that I was actually overhearing their conversation, but they were talking about how kids nowadays are spoiled. I said, oh, they're just so spoiled. And it got me to thinking about things like, first off, the Occupy movement. You know, Occupy Washington, whatever else it's been, Occupy Wall Street. This mentality of these, if you look, the demographic is often very young kids. And by young, I'm talking about in their 20s or lower. And these 20-year-old something or another's are coming out there, and they're sitting out there because they're saying that big businesses are corrupt, etc. I mean, there's a misnomer there. Businesses cannot be corrupt. Businesses are simply entities. Now, they can be mismanaged, and I would agree with that. But they're sitting there, and it seems as though instead of working, making money, doing what they've got to do, and building their own selves up, they're sitting there looking at big companies saying, you are causing this for me. Now, don't get me wrong. If you take a look at big banks and you take a look at big government, there's a problem there. And I'm talking a major, major problem there. But I don't think sitting out in the front of Wall Street with your hand out saying, and not all of them are doing this. I'm overstating this a little bit on purpose, but standing there with your hand out waiting for them to fix something rather than taking the responsibility of their own life. There's just something about that left me wondering. I got to thinking about healthcare even. This idea of Obamacare, which is in a lot of cases, I'm about halfway through reading this stupid document. You want to talk about just my goodness. Anyway, the word pedantic comes to mind if I haven't mentioned that before, but this healthcare bill about how everybody's entitled to affordable healthcare, right? And so this mentality that there are people that can't afford healthcare, so they are entitled to get lower payments. And there's something to that. That idea that we've attached this idea that healthcare is a right, a fundamental right. I mean, even outside of Obamacare, this mentality that I think some of us have assumed that we are entitled to $30 copays. Maybe that works, but I have a hard time as a businessman seeing that being an effective business model. But yet we seem to demand and expect these type of things. I heard a poll just the other day. A good buddy of mine was talking to me, And he was sharing with me a poll where he said they polled everybody and asked them, is having a job a right? To which the majority of the responders said, yes. I'm going to be very clear on something. You having a job is not a right. You having a job is something that has to be earned. It's not a right. It's not inherent to you. Because you were born does not mean that you're entitled to a job at all, much less a high-paying job. Jobs are things that are earned, that are striven for, that are failed after, and tried again until you get what you love. There's also the ideas of this, you know, the idea of WIC, which is like Women, Infant, and Children, if you don't know what that is. Basically like an organization that will often allot out a certain amount of food, etc., for folks that are pregnant and have infants. But even the food stamps, an entitlement, you know, they've referred to food stamps as an entitlement, as a benefit. So the question is do I think that many kids today are spoiled? Yes, I definitely agree that there are many kids that are spoiled. Maybe even the words majority are spoiled. But I don't think that that's all. I think there's more to all of this, because you have to ask yourself, where does the idea of blessing fit into all of this? What if a person is just blessed? Where do you fit that in to this equation of spoiled and entitled? But regardless of the answer, we'll probably have to save that for another podcast. But there's more than just this idea of being spoiled that's involved in this concept that we're thinking. So I think to accurately discuss this today, we have to do something. We have to break down what these words mean. So first, I want to define spoil, since we're kind of talking about spoiling, and that's kind of been the thing that's the most popular as parents to discuss, is spoiling. So let's define, what does spoil mean? Dictionary definition, spoil means to harm the character of a child by being too lenient or indulgent. I can't stop there. I got to break those words down just a little bit more. What does the word lenient mean? It means permissive, tolerant, or merciful, too permissive, tolerant, or merciful, right? That's what we would call in Family Podcast Network talk speak. We call that poor boundaries. Anytime that you harm the character of a child by being too permissive, too tolerant, or too merciful, is that saying that it is not okay to be merciful? No, that's not what it's trying to imply. Spoiling is not showing mercy to your kids. I absolutely believe that we just need to show mercy to our kids sometimes. But sometimes if we're not careful, we become so tolerant, so merciful that we allow ourselves to become permissive in our parenting style. If you are doing that leniency too much, by definition, you are spoiling your child. Definition of spoil: to harm a character or child by being too indulgent. What does the word indulgent mean? To allow oneself to enjoy the pleasure of, when we allow our kids to only enjoy the pleasurable side of life, we are spoiling them. You see, that falls under a concept that we talk here at Family Podcast Network called hedonism. Hedonism is a belief system that the ultimate good in life is to follow the things which are good, and the ultimate thing to be avoided in life are things that are uncomfortable or painful. So we acknowledge at the Family Podcast Network that while pleasure is just fine, there's nothing wrong with pleasure and enjoying things. There's nothing wrong with having entertainment and fun and laughter and fellowship and even feasting. There's nothing wrong with these things. We at FPN acknowledge that. Stress, pain, I mean, even struggle. These things have their place in life. Childbirth. Painful, stressful. It is a struggle, especially if you have a wife like mine who's just not a fun pregnant. Like a lot of people talk about, they're just like, you know, oh, I love pregnancy. I love being pregnant. My wife just wants to punch him in the face. Corey does not have that wonderful pleasure. Childbirth is a struggle. It's painful. It's stressful. And yet it produces some of the finest things that I know of. Weightlifting is a struggle that produces muscles. This business is a struggle and a pain sometimes, but it produces for me, even now, things that I never could have imagined. saving for something. When you've got money and you could go ahead and buy something small now, but you save it for something bigger, that creates stress. Learned lessons, mistakes that you make in life. Even being anxious about a test can cause us to study more. You see, here I reject the notion that pain is to be avoided. Now, I don't want you to hear this being sadistic on the flip side of that. I'm not saying that pain is something that you should seek out avidly. Trust me, you will get plenty of ups and downs. You will get plenty of pains and hurts and stresses in your life. So you do not need to go look it out. But I reject the idea that we are to completely avoid it. But I believe here, it's to be embraced, to be learned from. Dare say, I would even go as far to say that you're to take pain and the stress and the anxieties of life, the struggles that you go through, and you are actually called to use them to motivate you to avoid it happening again. I did not say avoidance. I didn't say that you use the motivation of pain or struggle or whatever else to avoid to walk into a state of avoidance. What I'm talking about is walking into a state where you're willing to overcome the problem because you have learned from it. So as I began thinking about this conversation these two folks were having about spoiling our children, I began to see a thread, an overarching connection between all of the things that we talked about earlier, whether it's the Occupy movement or Obamacare or job being the same thing as a right or the food stamp argument. I mean, even let's take this recent situation where these EBT cards started failing and they didn't work, right? If y'all aren't familiar with the story, basically there were folks that found out that at a certain Walmart during the government shutdown, people were given unlimited access or unlimited funds on their EBT accounts, which is like Lone Star food stamp card. And they took these cards and they just literally loaded, like drained the shelves at Walmart and loaded up with tons of, like one lady admitted to only having 69 cents or 68 cents on her account, and she went and bought like $800 or something worth of groceries. And they took these things. And I began to think there's something connecting them all together. You know, I was listening to those of you guys that are TSP listeners. Jack actually mentioned a comment where he started talking about how if they didn't see these things as benefits, as entitlements, if they saw them for what they are, which is a gift, we would have had a different response. Because you got to think about it. Would you ever know that you're being giving a gift and then run off with it like you stole it? No, of course you wouldn't. If you understood that the thing that was being handed to you was a chunk of money for food, and you acknowledged within your mind, this is a gift that is being given to me, you don't run off and try to steal more. You honor that gift. But it's only when you begin to feel entitled that you'll make a move like this. So I think we've got to dissect this word. We've got to tear down this word entitled. I'm going to give you two versions today. I'm going to give you guys the proper definition, the definition that I think in humanity, the word entitled actually has a place that doesn't have to be some kind of bitter thing that makes us want to vomit in our mouth. Then I'm going to talk to you guys about the secondary translation of this word, definition of this word, that I think is what most people mean when they say it and why it's become a problem. So proper definition of this word entitlement is to give a person the title, the right, the claim to something, or to furnish with grounds to laying a claim. So let's think about this. What are we talking about? We talk about a proper definition of an entitlement. You see, every single month I pay into my Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. Because I pay into that, I am entitled to health care. At least the health care commensurate to the plan that I pay for, right? Just because I pay into a health care plan doesn't mean that I get the Rolls Royce plan unless I'm paying for that one, right? So whatever I pay into my BCBS plan, I'm entitled to that health care as long as it matches the health care that I'm paying for, right? If I pay into an IRA, right? If I pay into an IRA, I'm entitled to that money. Now, there may be certain pieces of that you got to live up to, but that's my money. I'm entitled to that. If I loan out my 1911, which is a very popular common pistol for those of you guys who aren't shooters. But if I loan that out to somebody, I am entitled to get it back. If I barter my goods with somebody or services to somebody, I'm entitled to a payment. If I get offered, on the flip side of that, if I get offered like a risky investment that goes bad or something like that, and I was aware of the risks of it going bad, am I entitled to my money back? No, not necessarily, because I was told at the start that it was risky, right? So when we're looking at this idea of authentic entitlement, what is the one thing that they all have in common? To get something out of them, you got to first put something into them. You see, that's the definition of a proper definition, I should say, of an entitlement. Anytime that we put something into it and we have expectations for getting it back. Now, I want to be very clear on something. This governs property and not people, mind you. You understand what I'm saying here? So, like, for instance, just because I bring roses home for my wife tonight doesn't mean that I'm entitled to a good time this evening, if you know what I mean, right? That's not how it works. It's a property issue, not a personal issue, not a people issue. But I think it's funny, though, that even though we say that, we acknowledge that on that level, it's not okay to have that level of expectation for somebody, that level of entitlement for somebody, but we do it with our kids all the time. Well, I put a roof over your head, I put clothes on your back and food on that table. I am entitled to your respect. That's bullcrap. Unless you agree with that statement that just because you bring roses home that you're entitled to, well, we'll leave it at that. But I want to pull out today the Urban Dictionary definition. If you guys don't know what Urban Dictionary is, it's a wonderful dictionary that's got a lot more of the trending words that are available out there. So, for instance, if you don't know what a shoddy is because you heard it in a rap song or something like that, right? You can go actually look these words up. But it's a fantastic dictionary database. It's definitely not what you would call, like, empiric or anything like that. But it's got good information in it. And sometimes it has some of the most relevant and helpful information. And I think that this dictionary definition that we're going to pull out for entitlement here is going to be a little bit more relevant for what we're talking about today, because I think it's what we typically mean when we say entitlement. But that definition, that word entitlement in the Urban Dictionary defines as an attitude, a demeanor, or an air of rudeness, ungraciousness, or combativeness, especially when making excessive demands for service. So this kind of brings us to the capitulation of our topic today. Kids are not only spoiled nowadays. Our kids don't only just expect that leniency. They don't just expect that indulgence. They actually are coming to believe that it is their right or their title to claim that spoiling. They're getting to a point that they are believing that it is their right not to fail. I'm going to say that again because that's so powerful. Kids are growing up believing that it is their right to never experience failure. They've never had to. Anytime that little Johnny goes and messes up and gets thrown into jail, Daddy will come and bail him out and get him a good lawyer. Right? You see, we've done such a disservice to our kids by not allowing them to experience failure. Listen to me. Make no mistake when I say these things. It is 100% our fault as parents. Don't misunderstand me. I understand that kids reach that age where they're accountable to themselves. I totally agree that there comes a point that kids have to make their own choices and they can't continue to blame us. But listen carefully, guys. This issue that we're talking about with entitlement and with spoiling is our fault as parents. I'm not saying that to dog you. I'm not saying that to pull you down. I'm not saying that to make you feel all bad or make you want to cry in your Wheaties. I'm saying that because we can't change a freaking thing until we acknowledge that we're the ones who started it. The reality is that life is about success and failures. Some people will call these their hills and the valleys. I even heard one blog author call them compressions and expansions. Compressions being when things are tough or difficult, and expansions being when things are much more calm. I've heard people call them anxieties and contentments, etc. I'm going to play a little clip for you guys here. This is a little comment that actually comes off of a movie called Jerry Maguire. But his mentor was a guy named Dickie Fox. And throughout the entire movie, there's just little quick clips of him as he kind of confronts his moral and ethical things. He would flash back to his mentor, Dickie Fox, who he would see and hear giving his advice. And I want to share one piece with you at the very, very end of the show that actually is pretty insightful. So, Dickie Fox, tell us a little bit of some potent sage advice here.
Hey, I don't have all the answers. In life, to be honest, I've failed as much as I've succeeded.
You know, I think there's something inherently deep to that concept, to that idea that real life is not about avoiding the unpleasants, that real life is not about living in opulence and complete and total comfort. The reality is that the human spirit seems to do some of the poorest when it is completely contempt. I've referred on here several times about a comment that was made by early Greek philosopher named Juvenal, where he said, panem et circenses. It's very interesting that in the Hunger Games series, what's the name of the city or the nation? It's Panem. Panem et circenses. It's a phraseology that basically means that bread and circuses. And it's in reference to Juvenal noting that during the moment when it was the Roman democracy or Roman Republic was slowly beginning to become the Roman Empire, he noticed that one of the things that the rulers would do to keep the people disinterested in what was going on around them is that they would provide them entertainment through bread and circuses, and they would become so overwhelmed and enmeshed and enamored in the circuses and the gladiatorial fighting and all these other things, they would feed them this cheap, free bread. And what they found was, as long as they could keep them entertained and fed with cheap, crappy food, they would give up their civil liberties and their civil duties to pay attention to what was going on around them. You see, complete and total contentment is not good for humans. It is not good for us. Dickie Fox had it right. In life, we have a tendency to fail as much as we succeed. And that is not because we are failing at life. It is because we are learning to grow in it. But you see, parents often want to shield their kids from it. And when we do that, we deny our kids one of the biggest, most powerful, most effective lessons that we could ever give them. They don't get the opportunity to fall on their butt and get up. I frequently upset moms because I'll let my kiddo walk away from me and she'll trip and fall. And we're talking hard, nasty crashes. And they don't understand why I don't get up and go over there. And I'm telling them, no, don't pick her up. Let her learn that she can stand up and then come and get comfort and solace from me. Not always expecting that she's going to fall and somebody's going to be there to sweep her up. Let her learn to seek out help when she needs it. There is a powerful value in kids learning to tump over and learning how to get back up, metaphorically and literally. But there's another problem. Whenever we shield our kids from this, not only do our kids not get the opportunity to learn how to fail effectively, you as the parent don't get the opportunity for that wonderful thing, that wonderful opportunity to console your kids when they're hurting, to listen to them and let them soundboard whenever they've busted themselves up emotionally, mentally, physically. And you don't get that opportunity to love them. You see, screwing up is so powerful. So I think the question then is, what do we do? First, you have to remember. And I think this is one of those things that you have to hit on at the very start of this, because if we're not careful, we misconstrue the message today. Babies' needs, little babies, infants' needs, crying when they need their poopy diaper changed, crying because they're hungry. That is not spoiling your kids. Most people are aware of the terrible whats. They call them the terrible twos, right? Tantrums in little kids is not abnormal, because little kids are beginning to realize that they want to express themselves, but they don't necessarily have the language skills like we do as adults to articulate, "Mom, I'm hungry still. Mom, I have a sticker stuck in my shirt," right? They don't have that ability to do that. And so sometimes things like tantrums, "I'm disappointed I didn't get what I want." We all experience that. I wanted to punch holes in walls and things like that just because I didn't get exactly what I wanted. I understand that. And learning to control that has taken time. So that kind of thing is not uncommon. A crying infant that needs to be picked up is not spoiling your kid. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. Little infants do not need to cry it out. Pick the dadgum kids up. Listen to yourself. Follow what just feels right. Do it. So then what do we need to be doing? Well, let's break it down. What causes spoiling and entitlement in our kids? Number one, too little attention. Kids need your attention. Your kids need your attention. And it's also something that I want to understand. One of the neat things about the Family Podcast Network is this show is never going to stop, because there's always something we can be talking about. I could be a great grandfather and I still have kids that need me. Kids do not grow out of their need for your attention as a parent. I don't care if you're 20 years old or if you're 52 years old or if you're 80 years old. Your kids never outgrow their need for your attention. We had a situation here very recently, and I was talking with my buddy, and I was telling him about how my dad had been asking about recently about our finances, and I'll be honest, I didn't tell him that we've been really financially stressed out. And my friend was incredibly perplexed that I wasn't more honest about that. He said, "Well, why didn't you just tell your dad that y'all were having a hard time with finances?" "Well, I just told him, you know, that we were doing fine. We're going to be fine." "Why did you do that?" he said. And I really couldn't come up with an answer with that. And I kind of left the conversation, you know, I had kind of mentally flagged it. And I came back to it later that day. And I realized that deep down inside, I am still waiting to hear my dad say he is proud of me. And it was that motivation to hear that that led me to make the decision of, I don't want to tell him about this, because if I tell him about this, then he might not be proud. I mean, I'm a full-grown friggin' adult. I got 4 stinking kids, man. And here I am still desiring to hear my father how he's proud of me, say that he's proud of me. You see, when kids hear positive stuff from you as mama or as daddy, it's a good, good thing for them. So I want you to consider this. Do you tell your kids no, or do you tell them good job more? "No, stop it, stop it, quit. No, quit it, stop it, stop it, stop it." I would call those no-natos. "Quit it, stop it, right?" Focus on what your kids are getting attention with. Are they getting any attention at all? Are you noticing them when they're doing it right? And remember, if your kid bakes a batch of cookies and they come out burnt, don't tell them good job because they burnt the cookies. That's not what you're looking for. Remember, we're not just looking to throw unadulterated praise out there, but look for the good things in that situation. If they baked the cookies and they came out and they cleaned them up all by themselves, hey, good job cleaning up your mess without having to even be asked. I'm very proud of you for that. Or if they look at them, they say, "That's okay, we'll just try again." Hey, I'm really proud of you for being so diligent and being willing to try again even though you burnt those. That's really good. Notice those little things that they do well. Be honest about those things, but don't blow smoke up their butt, guys. Don't lie to them about things that they're not really exceptional at. And be specific about noticing those things that they do well. Number two, what should we do? The other thing, the other reason, the other often the cause of why kids become spoiled and entitled. Number two is too much attention. Yeah, so first one was no too little. The second one is too much. A lot of times parents will often just flat out do too much for their kids. They'll dress their kids whenever they're too old. They'll put their toys away for them when they're perfectly old enough to put their own away. They'll not allow them to pour their own cereal or tie their own shoe or buckle their own buckle in the car. And kids, if we are not careful, when we do this excessively, begin to learn this sneaky little turd mentality of, I deserve this. They learn this idea that there is nothing that they cannot demand from us that they cannot get. I'm always reminded of a scene from The Emperor's New Groove, where there's a scene where he's a little baby, and of course he's the new emperor, and he's sitting there and he loses like his, you know, his little doll or something like that, or his pacifier. It pops out. And he starts crying. All of a sudden, like 15 little hands show up around him with a brand new pacifier or doll or whatever it was that he had lost. You know, kids begin to believe that they deserve these things. Now, again, if you're getting frustrated or fired up about this, remember, who is responsible? We taught them to be that way. So maybe you're saying, yeah, Trey, this is us. This is me. This is where we are. We've given them too much attention, and now they overly depend on us. What do? You got to step them down. It's like the patch, man. You're smoking. You take the patch, right? And the idea behind like Nicoderm and all that stuff is that you put the patch on you and it slowly throughout the day releases a certain amount of nicotine, and you slowly begin to reduce the quantity that's in the patch until eventually you can wean yourself off. You got to do that sometimes with your kid. First, do it with him. You know, you're doing it with him, and maybe you've been doing it for all this time. Don't cold turkey him. If you've been brushing their hair, tying their shoes up until this point, you're like, crap, they really should be doing this themselves. Don't just cut them off. First, do it with him. Get him to be a part of it, and then slowly, over time, do less and less and build up their confidence. Show them that they can do it. Have them bring the bunny, you know, around the tree and down the hole and all that stuff, and have them be a part of those things and slowly build it up over time. Number three, in terms of what should we do, again, most of the time, spoiling issues are caused by these three things that we're not doing. The last one is poor boundaries. Often parents will establish, you know, rules, and then they won't follow through with them. They don't enforce them. Now, sometimes that's because parents are just being lazy. I talk it all the time that Corey and I will have what we call, oh, we're just being lazy parent moments. It happens. Sometimes the value of not doing it actually seems to outweigh the value of doing it. And so sometimes it's just about being lazy, but sometimes it's because we're afraid of our kids' reaction. We're afraid that if we say these things, they won't love us. If we set boundaries and we're firm to them, that they may not love us tomorrow, they may not care about us. Sometimes it's because we think that an unhappy kid equals a bad parent. And there's a misnomer on the flip side of that. Sometimes we think that an unhappy kid equals a good parent. And both of those are untrue. Kids are absolutely allowed to be unhappy. And that sometimes means we're doing exactly what we need to be doing. So what do we need to be doing, Trey? Okay, I'm in this one. I know the rules. We set the rules. We talk about the rules, but I don't ever enforce them. What should I be doing? Number one, you need to establish all your rules in advance. You two need to sit down. You need to discuss them, figure out what they are, and have them out planned, right? Don't make them up as they go. You just screwed that up, so now here's your punishment for doing that. Talk about them in advance, okay? Second part of this is be firm, but not hard. Remember, there's a difference between firm and hard. Firm gives a little bit. Even if it doesn't completely get torn up, it gives a little bit. Hard doesn't resist. I mean, it doesn't flex at all. You don't want to be a hard parent. You want to be a firm one. You need to know when you want to stand up for what you believe in and what you need and what you want. But you also need to know when you just need to say, you know what, this really isn't that big of a deal. And then the last part of this one for poor boundaries is you need to reinforce your rules. You need to stick with them. If you say that they're grounded for a week because they do this, you need to stick with that grounding. It doesn't matter how easy it would be, how simple it would make life. You got to stick with those things, because the reality is when our kids exit our door and they go into a real life, if they push any boundaries with the law, that law is going to shut their butt down. When we do these things and when we enforce rules and when we stick to our guns, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it sucks, even when we feel like crappy parents, when we stick to our guns about the rules that we stick up and in place in our household, we are modeling for them what life is like. Don't ever leave your kid at a point where they could say, you never told me. So I think there it is right there. We've got a group of spoiled kiddos being raised that feel very entitled. But listen to me. It is not too late. It is absolutely not too late. We can teach our kids by making sure that we're giving them enough attention, or not too much, that we're not setting poor boundaries and letting them run all over us permissively. We can do it by loving them, by caring for them. And we can teach them that in life, there's a series of ups and downs. There's a series of successes. There's a series of failures. You're going to nail it one day, and you're going to totally jack it up the next. But the reality is, the power in all of this lies that you don't give up. You don't stop. You don't accept yourself where you are. You don't say, I've been a bad this or I've been a horrible that. You say, I screwed up, but I'm going to roll with the punches because tomorrow is another day. Well, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join us this Friday, where Jeff and I are going to sit down for another episode of the Real Family Guys podcast. This week is going to be a listener write-in email question. It's going to be really, really, really good. And it also came, also, I want you guys to hear this say, that it was actually a PTACer that submitted it as a PTACer question. And guess what? They went right to the top of the list. So you guys definitely want to come check this out. I'm telling you, they gave us a great question to go over. We're going to hit it this Friday. Hope you guys have a great day, a great rest of this week. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys on Friday.